You can be seated today. I feel like we've already had church and we've already had the word, actually, in so many ways. And haven't even got a chance to share my talk with you yet today. Hello to everybody that's joined us online, and even those of you who are watching us from other nations. We are always humbled and honored that you would join us. And our theme this year is Kingdom Come. His kingdom come, your kingdom come, thy kingdom come. And the prayer that Jesus launched back there in the gospel in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, this prayer, which from the moment he prayed it and then taught us to pray it, is powerfully advancing his kingdom in the earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know, for 2,000 years, this prayer has been prayed. It's been on the lips of the followers of Jesus. And his kingdom keeps advancing. His kingdom keeps coming. I just even wonder right now in a day, in a 24-hour day, since there are about 2 billion human beings who say that they are Christians, I wonder how many hundreds of thousands of times, maybe even millions, a day, these words are ascending to God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how is this prayer answered? This prayer that keeps advancing God's kingdom until Jesus returns and brings the complete restoration of all things. How does this prayer get answered in our lifetime as we are part of this kingdom? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 is such a revelation to us. It says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Come on, that's what God does for us. Thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Matt's sharing about their struggle and then the breakthrough of their struggle, and there's the triumph in Christ. Come on, it's life. It's life, and we're walking through life, and some of it's hard, and some of it's sad, and some of it's, you know. But thanks be to God who always... Just stick in there, my brother. Just stick in there, my sister, because he always leads us in triumph through Christ. This is what he does for us. But this next word in the Greek is kai, kai, and it means and. Not only is this what God does for us, and, watch this, through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. That's how this prayer is answered. It's answered by what God is doing for us and by what God is doing through us. Through us. It's what God does through us that causes his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Through our worship and through our witness. Our worship and our witness. And our foundational scripture for our worship and our witness is in Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 15 is about our worship, and verse 16 is about our witness. And here's what we read. By him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Our worship and our witness. And we've said, and we will continue to say this year, and go deep here. We're gonna do a deep dive this year into our worship and our witness. We've said that there's 3 elements to our worship. There is our supplication and our celebration and our adoration. And there are also 3 elements to our witness, and that is our declaration, our transformation, and our demonstration of the love and the kindness and the goodness and the mercies of Jesus. Now, our worship is upward, and our witness is outward. Yeah. Upward and outward. Him and them. Him and them. And every time we worship, heaven touches earth. And every time we witness, earth touches heaven because the smell of the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus begins to be known. And so today I want to say three things about our witness. The first thing I want to say is, just like, I know you would agree with me this morning, just like God deserves our worship, people deserve our witness. I know that you would agree with me. We sang it today. God is worthy of our worship. People are worthy of our witness. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, as you go into all the world, as you go into all the world of your world, as you go into all the world of your work or your finance or your business or your family, or as you go. This is not just go, it's as you go. As you live in your world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. The gospel is for everyone, everywhere, and everyone, everywhere. There's not one person in your world who does not deserve to hear the good news and to smell the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus. Every person in your world is worthy of that and deserves that. Bethany spoke of the woman there at the well where Jesus and his disciples had traveled all that day, and they come to the village of Sychar, and there is the well that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and it's the middle of the day, it's hot, and there is this woman that Jesus encounters, and she encounters Jesus. And in that conversation that Bethany was mentioning, you know, should we worship in this mountain or should we worship in Jerusalem, you know? And the Lord really speaks to her and says, no, the time's coming. We'll worship. The true worshipers don't need a mountain or a temple. The true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. And she says, you know what? When the Messiah comes, he's going to teach us all these things. And Jesus looked that woman in the eye and said to her, I who speak to you am he. You talk about rock your world. Here's what happens. Verse 28 of John 4. Jesus just tells her, I am the Messiah. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? She had just heard something that rocked her world, and she just left her water pot right there where she had heard it and ran back to the village and told everyone in the village. Everyone else needed to hear what she had just heard. Come and see a man. What an invitation. Come. She goes to the whole village and invites the village to come out to see a man who told me everything. Could he possibly be the Messiah? Come and see. Come and see. She knew her village deserved to hear what she had just heard. Now, they probably weren't all that kind to her. And they probably weren't all that friendly to her. She was probably ostracized a bit. Maybe a lot. But that none of that mattered anymore. None of that mattered anymore. It's like we're just beggars telling other beggars where all the bread is. We just found the bread. And you may agree, we may disagree. It doesn't matter. We're beggars finding bread together. And she invited everyone to come. And see a man. Jesus tells another story I mean, that was not a parable. That was an incident. But he tells a story in a parable in Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Jesus said, "There was a man once upon a time who invited many to join him in a great feast. And when the day for the feast arrived, the host instructed his servant to notify all the invited guests and tell them, 'Come, for everything is now ready for you.'" Now, there are many layers to this parable, as the Word of God is filled with layers. And of course, one of the things Jesus is saying here is that Israel was the one invited to the great feast, but Israel decided not to come because he came unto his own and his own received him not. And so there is the telling of that in this parable, but then there's a telling of much more than that as we continue to read. "Come, for everything is now ready for you." Messiah is here. "Come." But one by one, they all made excuses. One said, "I can't come. I just bought property, yada, 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 yada." Another one said, "Please accept my regrets. I just purchased 5 oxen, yada, yada." Another said, "I can't come. I just got married, yada, 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 yada." And so the servant reports back to the host and told him of all their excuses. And so the master became angry. And here's what he said to the servant: "Go at once throughout the city and invite anyone you find." Anyone. This gospel is now not just for Israel. For anyone you find. The poor, the blind, the disabled, the hurting, the lonely, those who don't have it together, whoever you find. Anyone, everyone you find. And then he says, and invite them to my banquet. Invite them to my feast. Invite them to my table. Let them know where my house is. Let them know the door is open. Let them know there is a chair sitting and a place set. Tell them that. Go tell them that. Go tell them that I am inviting them to my table. Everyone who has been invited deserves to know. Our declaration, transformation, and demonstration is an invitation to the Father's house and a seat at his table. And not just the feast that we have here every week, but we're talking about that even eternal great marriage supper of the Lamb banquet. They're invited. And we just heard a while ago from Matt that in 2 weeks, we have our Good Friday, Family Fun Day, Easter Sunday weekend. And what Matt was saying to us a while ago is that this is not an event, it's an invite. Yes. Make this special occasion of celebration an invitation. Not all will come, but let it not be because they were not invited. And in the same way that God deserves our adoration, people deserve our invitation. We just saw on the screen 3 lives radically changed and transformed because of invitation, which is part of our witness. So the first thing I want to say today about our witness is just like God deserves your worship, people deserve your witness. Second thing I want to say today is that we need boldness to be effective in our witness. Boldness. Man, I wish it weren't so. I wish there was, but here's the truth. If we're going to be effective in our witness, we need boldness. And so how do we get boldness? Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked run, the wicked flee when no one's pursuing. The wicked run when no one's chasing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Oh, how do we quit running away and become bold like a lion? So I want to address that for a moment. How do we become bold? Three ways. The first way to live in boldness and to be bold in your witness, the first way to boldness is we ask for it. We absolutely ask for it. We see how necessary it is for me to be effective. For me to truly be effective in my witness, I need to be bold. So how do I get boldness? Well, we ask for it. We read in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, pray, Paul says, pray, ask. Pray also for us so that God will give us good opportunity. Good opportunity, everybody. God will give us good opportunity to preach his message about the secret of Christ. For that is why I'm now in prison, Paul says. Pray then that I may speak as I should. Pray for me, Paul says. Pray that I may speak as I should in such a way as to make it clear. It's like Paul is saying, pray that I may speak as I should and not be silent. It's so easy to be silent. And it's not so easy to speak as I should. This culture we live in today will shut you down, shut you up, shut you out. So it's just easier not to speak. But it's through us that people know that they're invited. We have to speak. It's through us that this message, the fragrance is diffused. The fragrance of Jesus is diffused as the knowledge of him comes forth. So it's not really an option. And you know, we see the apostles, they've just been threatened by the council, threatened within an inch of their life. And listen to their prayer. Listen to their prayer. Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look upon their threats. Honestly, they just threaten them bad. And he says, look, they pray, look now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Everybody say boldness. That might be the first step to boldness right there, is just saying boldness, you know. Grant to us, Lord, that your servants would continue to speak. We would not be silenced. We would not be canceled. We would not be shut up or shut out. No, Lord, that we would continue to speak your word with all boldness. So we ask for boldness. We pray for boldness. The second way that we get boldness is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, once they had just prayed this prayer, Lord, grant that your servants would continue to speak with boldness. You go down just a few verses later. This is a result of this prayer, by the way. Look at verse 31 of Acts 4. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, this isn't Acts chapter 2. This is Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 2, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues. This is Acts chapter 4. And here is another. See, the filling of the Holy Spirit, at least in my world and in my personal life and devotion, is a continual ask. I'm continually asking the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today. And Lord, whatever I lost through, attitude or whatever yesterday or whatever I lost, Lord, fill me today. Yes. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They spoke the word with boldness. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not only about speaking in other tongues, it's speaking the word of God with boldness. And we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the words of Jesus. Now I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. And here's what Jesus said. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what's all that for? So that you can be goosebump-filled Pentecostals. So that you can be accused of swinging from chandeliers and rolling on floors. No, although I'm in, whatever the Lord's doing, I'm in. Bring me a chandelier. Come on, somebody. No, but here's what he says. You will receive this power, this ability, this efficiency, and this might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. You know, in Cranebrook and South Penrith and Mount Druid and to the ends of the earth. You see, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our helper. And Jesus said in John 15 and verse 26, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, we heard about that already, who proceeds from the Father, what's he going to do? What's he going to help me with? What does the Holy Spirit come and what's, how is the helper helping me? Watch, the Spirit of truth, he says, whom I shall send to you, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. And guess what? He will testify of me, baby. He will testify. Come on, be filled with the Holy Spirit and he will testify of me. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and he will speak of me. Another version says this, I will send him to you from the Father and he will speak about me. The ability, the power, the clarity to speak as I am filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you speak about me, is what Jesus is saying. He will testify of me through you. And so how do we stop running and become bold like a lion? Well, we ask, we pray, Father, give us boldness. Give me boldness. And we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the third thing I want to say about boldness, I wish this was more profound. I wish this was something else. But the truth is simply this. Boldness increases boldness. Yeah. You know, yesterday, Carol and I, we took a ride from our house in Glenmore Park out to the Regatta Center. Actually, we went just around the Regatta Center out to the O'Castlery Church out there. And we rode and had such a wonderful day. By the time when we got back to the house yesterday, Carol got off her bike and she said this. She said, you know, the more I move, the more I'm able to move. And I said, that's my sermon. That's what I'm trying to say. The more I move, she said, the more I'm able to move. It's the same with boldness. It's exactly the same thing. So you know what? This isn't profound, but here we go. Be bold. Get on your bike. Step up. Speak out. Take a chance. Suck it up. Have a go. Bombs away. Geronimo. And here's the truth. The more you do it, the easier it is to do it more. The more you do, the more you become. We see this in Peter, the Apostle Peter. I mean, that dude was a coward, crazy coward. He was a crazy coward. And yet we also see him later as this bold dude, as a matter of fact, he was so bold that they almost nicknamed him Peter the Marvelous Bold. Well, you judge for yourself if that's what they were going to do. I'm going to read this. Look at this Peter from Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when we're talking the authorities here, we're talking those who've got the power to make your world stop. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and unlearned men, they marveled. Marvelous Peter the Bold. marvelous boldness. This is what they decreed. This is what they saw. But come on. The Peter in Acts 4:13 is a long way from the Peter in Matthew 26:69, man. I mean, like miles away. Look at this, Peter. Matthew 26, verse 69. Jesus has been arrested. Jesus has been taken in. And now here comes Peter. And here's what Peter set outside in the courtyard. And a servant girl. A servant girl, a little bondservant girl, came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway to get away, I put the getaway in, when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl, saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you're also one of them, for your speech betrays you." And he began to curse and swear, "Say, I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. Now, if Peter can go from cowardice in front of little girls to boldness in front of the Sanhedrin, yeah, then there's hope for me. And there's hope for you. How do we become bold? By praying, by infilling, and by getting on your bike. By doing. Look, this is the nature of boldness. Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold. I don't know if you're born bold, but we can grow bold. Boldness can grow in you and in me. And it's not as if there weren't a lot at stake. Paul and Barnabas grew in boldness, watch this, and said it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you. And I would say this day, if there is no boldness in us, how is this necessary word of God going to be spoken? It's necessary, they said, that the word of God be spoken to you. So we grow in boldness. That's what happened to Peter. He went from running from little girls to roaring in front of scribes and Pharisees. And there's hope for us. All right. I want to give my... Now, I just gave three thoughts in thought two. Are you following me? So I've got three things I want to say about witness. And that is that people deserve your witness. And the second thing I want to say is, but to be effective in our witness, we need to be bold. And then I just did three things for bold. But the third thing I want to say, why don't we have our team make their way to the platform, please. The third thing I want to say about our witness is this. Something happens inside of us when we testify. Just like something happens to us when we worship. Now, you've noticed here in this focus, upward and outward, have you noticed that maybe we've left someone out? You know, like inward, like me. What about me? I just want to show you the most amazing miracle, that every good thing that happens in me is a byproduct because of what's happening upward and outward. Not a pursuit. Stay with me on this thought. We spend so much of our Christian life, "Oh, what about me? Me, Lord, speak to me. What about a revelation of this?" Listen, I promise you, if you will make him and them your focus, I'm going to show you in just a moment, things begin to happen in you. Our focus this year is not me. It's him. It's them. It's upward, it's outward, it's not inward. But I promise you the best inward life you've ever lived, if you will work with us and walk with us this year with an upward and an outward focus. So when we worship, something happens to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, and we tasted this morning in our worship. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, or Joe, as in a lens maybe. What are we beholding? The glory of the Lord. There's our worship. There's our worship. Now, what's happening is I'm beholding. Here's what's happening. We are being transformed into the same image. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody get hold with me. Somebody lay hold. The great transformation of my life is not me working on me. The greatest transformation of my life is me beholding the glory of Him. And as I behold His glory, I'm transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The more we worship Him, the more like Him we become. Now, in the same way, something happens to us and in us when we testify, when we witness. There's something going on inside of me as I'm seeking to witness. And I want to show you what it is. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, John says, "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last! At last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. It has come at last. For the accuser, did you know that the very name Satan means accuser? For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before God day and night.'" And now Satan and God's people are dwelling in the same space and in the same place. But watch this. "But they," the brothers and the sisters, "have defeated him," overcome him, translations say. They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. Their testimony overcomes him. Their testimony defeats him. They overcome. Just like I become more like God, I overcome. In my worship, I become. And in my witness, I overcome. They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Your testimony defeats him on the earth. When you share your testimony, Satan is overcome. He is defeated. And not only in your life, but in the life of the one you're sharing it with. Your testimony silences the accuser, defeats the devil, hastens the return of Christ, and advances the kingdom of God on earth. So when was the last time you shared it? Your testimony is key to kingdom come. We're talking about our worship and our witness. We're talking about His kingdom come and His will be done through us, through our witness. This morning, I've shared three thoughts with you about our witness. Just like God deserves our worship, people deserve our witness. Everyone deserves to know that God loves them and has forgiven them and has invited them into His forever family. And you have their invitation. Second is that we need boldness if we're going to be effective in our witness. And boldness comes through prayer, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and from being bold. And third, our testimony causes us to be overcomers. It brings victory over the enemy. Every time I share my testimony, I silence the accuser, I overcome the devil, I hasten the return of Christ, and I advance the kingdom of God on earth. Would you stand with me? We are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If any woman be in Christ, she's a new creation. And what is our vocation in the new creation? My worship and my witness.